It's time to check in with local funny man Michael Pettit, coming up next on Chapters. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Chapters. My name is Jim Derrick, and it's Check-In Monday. Check-in with my friend, funny man, stand-up comic, MC, and much, much more, Mike Pettit. Welcome, Mike.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Derrick.
It is good to see you, Mike. We were just talking about spring training.
Spring training.
We're in the thick of it right now.
Today it's 50, it's sunny, and it feels like 90, and we are ready for Sprummer.
Right. Right, New England. Sprummer is the season celebrated in the Pettit household, which is the combination of spring and summer, because we go from 32 degrees and sleet to 94 degrees and people going, oh my God, it's so hot.
It's so hot. Oh, this is horrible. Put the air conditioning on, Marty.
Yeah, but hey, I'm excited for the Sox this year. Are you?
Absolutely. How can you not be excited? They just, they have this, I believe they have a mindset inside the clubhouse with Alex.
Yeah.
That is just, you know, they're young. They want more. They're like we all are. They're hungry.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know what? That's a great point. And I paid special attention to the reaction that the Red Sox had, particularly Alex Cora, when Nick Cafardo passed.
Yeah.
And that sudden loss of a really nice, nice man, a really good, good person. Nick Cafardo was the longtime Boston Globe writer, very beloved around the ballpark, and a very, very hard worker. And to listen to Alex Cora speak about that and see the emotion that he wore right out in the open, and to have him say, you know, life's about a lot more than baseball. We need to really pay attention to who it is we're surrounding ourselves with, how we comport ourselves around people that we love and let them know that we love them. And it was really a touching moment. Did you happen to see that interview?
I did not. I saw, unfortunately, of his passing.
Yeah.
But he was kind of, you know, he was that Sox reporter for years that we've just become so accustomed to,
right?
And seeing, you know, as part of Fenway Park, like mm-hmm. Remy, like all of it.
Mm-hmm. I know that Alex was saying, you know, Nick used to ride me for giving guys days off. And I used to think to myself, you know, I really like this guy. Why is he riding me? Because I gave somebody a day off. And it suddenly dawned on him that Nick died on his day off. He was at the park on his day off, just hanging around because it's what he did.
Sure.
And that's why he used to bust on him. And I know, Mike, you suffered a personal loss, as did the community of Attleboro recently, and lost a real, real giant of a man.
North Attleboro, yes. A good friend to many. His name was Chris Cornetta. Chris, I've known for years, youth sports coach, North Attleboro firefighter, just a funny, funny man. Last Monday, it was a week ago today. He was out snow blowing his driveway.
Right.
Going ready at 6 o'clock, going to do his shift like we all were after a pretty good storm. He was going to do a shift at 8 o'clock and he was stricken, heart attack.
Yeah.
And our town is devastated. Chris will never, ever, ever be forgotten. As a friend, as a human being, as a super cool, just the best of the best dog lover, did everything. He introduced me to our breeder for our dog, Big Murph, the Labrador, 4 years ago. Chris also had a side business, which was Cornetta Appliances, as a lot of firemen do. They have side jobs. Chris was one of those guys. He'd come to your house, he's like, don't worry about it. I got the part, my truck.
Right.
So he literally wouldn't even take money, and it was always this argument in the basement. I'm not gonna call you anymore if you're not gonna take my money. That kind of guy. So devastated is an understatement right now. Mm-hmm. So life happens and life is short. And he was a huge Patriots fan, 35-year season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. The mayor of North Attleboro,
the mayor. That's how he was described in the newspaper. I went right to the obit to read it. I happened to be with Mike when he got the news, and Mike was knocked to his knees, literally. And I wanted to see what type of person Mike was talking about as he stumbled out of here in shock that day. And so yeah. I read a lot about him, and what a great guy.
It was a heavy week, to say the least. And, you know, wakes and funerals are never good, but I'll tell you, the way that firemen put it together, it was Friday was the wake in North Attleboro. Mm. They had to have it at St. Mary's Church. That's how large the wake was. There was hundreds and thousands. The line was down the street. You couldn't park. Mm. And a lot of friends, a lot of hugs, a lot of tears, a lot of laughs. I actually stopped by on Saturday and, you know, just grab my flower. And Chris will live on forever. And every time I look at my dog, Big Murph, I got him through via Chris. So good people. And it's just you have to enjoy. You don't know when your time is.
No, you don't. And I loved what you said afterwards. And through your grief and the expression that the whole community had of grief was the real celebration of what this guy is to the community and how he lived his life. 51, two short years. But boy, I'll tell you what, he didn't leave anything on the bench, as they say. He brought everything with him every day, right?
It was such a tribute when you saw the pictures, and it was just like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And as my, you know, the women, they just have those right words. I was in rough shape last week, and I broke down one night at dinner, and my girlfriend, the lovely and talented.
Lovely and talented, L&T.
She just said a couple words that were just so impactful for me. She says, he was a well-loved, will-never-be-forgotten man. He did nothing but give to people, and he didn't suffer.
Mm.
He had a heart attack, and he's gone. He's not in a nursing home with tubes, and not to be too, you know, detailed, but he didn't suffer, and he's sitting down, you know, laying, resting with God and smiling at us all, saying, go Pats!
Yeah. You know, the other great thing is that there's a whole community of people that got together as a result of his passing, and it sounded to me like you already have plans in motion to do a series of comedy shows and fundraisers, and I'm sure there'll be things that are community events that are spawned in his memory.
Well, if you live in North Attleboro in this area, you know there's a thing called 3 days the firemen put on in North Attleboro. It's called the Kids Day.
Yep.
It's a 3-day, 4-day festival. Starts on Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wraps up Sunday. Chris has been part of that for 17 years.
Right.
So my personal selfishness, I always was involved with the North Attleboro comedy fundraisers, and they always made the donation to someone in the town, or so we're possibly talking about doing something. I had to just let things settle down
now. Yeah.
His last name was Cornetta.
Cornetta.
He had many nicknames, all good, but one of them was Corny. So we're possibly talking about doing the Corny comedy show.
Yeah, that sells itself, right?
It does. People will get it. Chris always reached out to me. I brought the other comedians in. We crushed it, raised a boatload of money.
Yep.
Lots of LOL for everybody.
Yep, yep.
And it's just...
Amazingly to me, you did a show the night of the wake, which is... I'm talking to you, and I'll tell you, I wish I had the tape machine running, because it's amazing to get a window into a professional comic's life. You're going from this tremendously emotional event.
Yep.
You're in the car, and I said, Mike, where are you going? You said, I got to look at the poster. I have no idea. But it wound up being a benefit for elementary school down in Connecticut.
Yes. Thursday I was in Connecticut. Thursday I was in Connecticut, but Friday I was down in Cranston, Rhode Island.
Yeah, Cranston. That's what it was.
For school. And then Saturday was a Acushnet. It was for the PTO and just our folks, our people, you know?
Right.
And it's therapy to your point.
Yeah.
That is a escapism for me.
Yep.
When I'm on stage performing, make me people laugh, I'm in my element. That's what I do.
It is what you do. And the other part of what you do is you put your heart forward. And I'll tell you, Gilly's House, sober home in Wrentham, actually in the Sheldonville portion of Wrentham. People listening, if you don't know about it, go to gillyshouse.org or .com. I can't remember what it is. It's GILLY*S house. It is a sober home built. Family took the grief of losing their son, all too young, to a heroin overdose, the Gilmeister family, and built this home. It is a nonprofit. They're doing incredible programming. So what do you think Mike Pettit said when he found out they were having a benefit? I'll host it. I'll MC it. I'll do some comedy at the beginning. And you were great. I mean, they were so thrilled to have you there. And they wound up having over 300 people. Unfortunately, there's a parking problem at the Plainridge Casino. But it's a big part of what you do is support organizations that really need their help. And they're getting talent when they get you. And I can say this.
Oh, they're getting
talent that you normally don't get at these types of things. You know, Mike Pettit has toured all around the country. He's done radio, television. He's done Grill Seekers. He's had television programs. He's got television programs to come. So they're getting a real opportunity to get a real professional. And more importantly, Michael, somebody who cares. About the cause.
It's about being human.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being a human.
It is.
You know, life is short, so am I.
Yeah.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
That's what we do. Hello.
Hey, I want to remind everybody, my name's Jim Derrick. This is Chapters Radio. We're checking in on a Monday with my friend and comic MC and just all-around great guy, Michael Pettit. You can find Michael Pettit at PettitProductions.com.
It's Monday, Jim. You say it the way you say it. P-E-T-I-T Productions.com.
Right.
And as the Red Sox roll into 2019, it's Chapters Radio with your friend, Jim Derrick. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I love talking to Mike. We've gotten to know each other quite well over the past year or so. And I'll tell you what, It's like an improv day every day that we get on the phone. And one of the observations that Mike and I shared today was the pursuit of adequacy in our...
The acceptance.
Yeah. Well, it's the acceptance. But now we've gone from just acceptance to a pursuit of adequacy. And I was relating to Mike that my first exposure to that was on the baseball fields here in Franklin when I was told, Coach, these kids are playing T-ball. I'd say, I know it. I can't wait. I can't wait for my son to compete. And they went, we don't do that. We don't do that. Everybody gets a trophy, participation trophy, and don't let them keep score. And as I've gotten older, I've noticed that's what people are doing in life. Right, Mike?
Sure.
A lot.
Sure. Well, when I was a kid, my dad says, it doesn't matter if you win or you lose. What's important is nobody knows you're my kid.
And that sets you off with this confidence that it just oozes from you to this day.
And that's why I'm starving constantly for attention in front of complete strangers. Please, please pay attention to me. Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen it. We go out on a Saturday night. I'm that guy. By the way, I know this subject so well because I'm that guy. I go out to this. I won't name the restaurant. It's a place that I know I'm not going to die from the food. But it's not really that great.
It's adequate.
And I say to my wife, honey, how was your meal?
It was good.
You're not going to throw up on me, are you?
Right.
Nope. Well, good. It's a good start to the weekend. And by the way, you look okay tonight.
Jim, the threat of adequacy.
Right. But there's no risk with adequacy. It's not like I get all dressed up and my wife doesn't notice, you know,
no.
Or my husband doesn't notice. Adequacy is great because there's no risk.
Look, we all just want to feel okay, and
right.
We all just want to be adequate.
Right, just adequate.
Right.
So
have a decent Monday, Jim.
Yeah,
let's shoot for adequate for Tuesday.
What was the sign off? Was it Casey? Reach for the stars.
Reach for the stars. Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Now we're gonna change it to have yourself an adequate day.
Right. I mean, I think, I hope people can understand. You know what? Even if you don't, I'm having fun. That's all that counts.
No, look.
But, I mean, my God almighty, how many times am I striving for adequacy in my life? I remember in the middle of my insurance career, I mean, let me tell you, there is nothing more exciting than waking up in the morning and getting to go talk to somebody like yourself, Mike, about lowering their deductible. You want to talk about something that gets you up in the morning.
I'm not saying that Jim Derrick Buffer insurance policy can do for you what it did for me. But I feel like I can trim just a little bit. I can save you a little bit of money so you can go out and have an adequate meal.
And to all my friends that are still in the business, I'm sorry.
That was adequate.
Yeah, that was adequate. Oh, man, what else is floating our boat? You are still coming down, maybe. I don't think you're down yet from the Patriots run this year. And for anybody that didn't catch Mike at the alumni, I did one night in particular. It was great. You had a long run at the alumni.
We're there again. Actually, we do comedy shows over there as well.
Yeah.
We're doing a show 420.
Oh, I didn't know that. 420?
On 420.
You're not doing marijuana code on me, are you?
No, man. I'm not doing that, man.
This is a clean show, man.
All we're going to do, hey, man, we're just going to go and have some fun and laugh a little bit, man.
Mike's quest right there was to be more than adequate because he's trying to sound cool.
Yeah.
We're doing it on 420.
On 420.
Yeah, but on April 20th at the Alumni Restaurant.
Yeah.
Alumni Bar and Grill right here in Franklin.
Yeah, doing a comedy show.
Yep, and you know what? I went one night. I got to tell you, it is well worth it. Go over there, have something to eat. Great food, really nice people.
Awesome.
I was there last night.
Andrea and Captain Carl. Yep.
And this place is better than adequate. In fact, I would say it's great. And when you walk into the side room and you see Mike, are you bringing anybody else with
you? Yeah, of course. Yeah, we have another comedian, Ryan Gartley from New Hampshire. Funny kid. Relationship stuff that is just so spot on.
Yeah.
Adequate.
Yeah, better. Yeah. Listen, this is better than adequate.
Yeah.
You can actually go there expecting to have a decent time, and you're going to be shocked when you have a great time.
Yeah, the folks over at the alumni, really great function room. We've been doing it for about a year now, and it's cool because they sell out. It only seats about 70 people.
Yeah, exactly.
And people come in, they get a nice meal, and
it's
they go.
Fun.
And you know what? You don't need to go to Providence or Boston. No traffic. Boom. We'll have you home in your feety pajamas.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about a World Series yep. ring by 11 o'clock at night.
You know what you get and you do really well is local hometown, getting to know people.
Sure.
You love me. I mean, you're out in the restaurant before your gig.
Sure.
And people saying, who is that guy? That's the comic tonight. And you were walking around, walking up to people's tables. They had people in stitches before they wound up in the place. Just being a nice guy. And that's what I like about that environment is it's a very family type of environment.
Yeah.
And you feel like going back again.
It's your hometown, local, you know.
And the lovely and talented was in the house.
Miss Dina was there as well. She's a big supporter of the LOL, and that's what we do.
First time I met her, and by the way, she's both.
She is. Lovely and talented.
Yeah, she's lovely and talented.
She's the lovely and talented.
Yeah, exactly. You have other gigs coming up.
My gosh. May 10th, I'll be at the Musquamicket Spring Festival on Friday night, Musquamicket Beach. I'm going to be hosting on a Friday night. It's a three-day event. The Musquamicket, say that three times, the Musquamicket Spring Fest. I'll be hosting on Friday night, and good friends of mine, Sean Compton, they're in a Dirty Deeds, it's an AC/DC tribute band, and they headline the Friday night. So it's a weekend of, you know, carnival, festival, fair, Ferris wheels, cotton candy, hot dogs, and it's May 10th, May 10, 11, 12 at the Musquamicket Beach
Fest. How can you go wrong there?
It's awesome.
Get a jump on the summer.
Yep.
Get a jump on your tan, go early, sit outside.
Yeah. My good friend Caswell Cook organized this down at Musquamicket. Musquamicket's cool.
It is a cool place.
It's a cool area down there.
You and
there.
I both have an affinity for that place. The one place I won't go on 4th of July again, because last year I had to sit on that face cloth out on the beach. It was horrible with all the people and touching each other. But it is a lovely area. It's kind of a beautiful beach. I think Rhode Island has, maybe not even arguably to me, I know they have better public beaches than Martha's Vineyard because I lived on Martha's Vineyard, and I would argue they rival what the Cape has to offer.
Yeah. It's less traffic.
Yep.
And it works. I mean, people, you know, I think the Cape gets much more publicity as it does. It's beautiful.
And they have a nude beach.
They do.
I think it's still there, right? Moonstone?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And they cordon it off. They put like crime tape. Have you noticed that around the edge?
They should, because most of that naked is a crime.
But I'm
honey, look at that bed naked. Oh my God, that's our neighbor. Look at Stuart. Stuart, you haven't seen the son of the gym in 40 years. Why does he do that? It's a crime. Put up some crime tape.
Why is it the people that go there are the people that suddenly realize that they're not defying gravity? I've got an idea, honey. Now that I'm 38 pounds overweight, and you know what is hanging way below the equator? Let's get naked in public. Why weren't you getting naked when you were in your 20s?
Well, here's the funny thing about the beach in general. Hopefully not naked. Let's wake up early.
Yep.
Pack a lunch.
Yep.
Pack some food.
Of course.
Race to get to the beach.
Yep.
9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
Sit on a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Take all of our clothes off. And eat. Who does that?
Nobody.
No. I'm a late day beach guy.
Late day. Oh,
like 4 or 5
morning, o'clock?
No, I'm about a 2 o'clock kind of guy.
That's late.
How
old are you?
And relatively speaking, regard to
of
nine.
Of course.
So Saturday mornings, I like to get up, have my coffee on the back deck, blah, blah, blah. Maybe do a few errands, do a few yard things, mow the lawn.
Yep.
And then we pack up a cooler about 1 o'clock, 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
We head down to the beach at 2. People are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Parking spaces are available.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love to say 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, catch that sunset. It's still warm out.
I love that time.
And then you go 7, 8 o'clock. If you're in Rhode Island, you go to Iggy's. You got to go to Iggy's, get the clam cakes and chowder.
Okay.
You just go to a late dinner. You know, it's just that kind of stuff.
You know what? And I'm getting hungry for the summer.
Sure we are.
And that's why we're together on Monday, because, frankly, I wasn't going to leave the house for another month. I'm on strike. But Mike said, no, come on out. Let's go down. Let's meet. Let's have some yucks and try to get our moods up, because spring training's in session. It's 50 degrees out. It's sunny. Why be sad?
It's a nice day when you're sitting in the car with the heat on, wearing a hazmat suit, and the sun comes through.
Well, yesterday was one of those days, Mike, where you say to yourself, you know, why am I here?
Right.
Right? It was sleeting.
Yeah.
It was sprinter.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Winter met spring.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And today here we are with our clothes off, our shoes off, and thinking about Musquamicket.
We are hardy New Englanders. No, we're just too stupid to move anywhere.
I want to remind everybody, we are on Chapters Radio. My name is Jim Derrick. This is my friend Michael Pettit. You can find Michael at Pettit, P-E-T-I-T, productions.com. Look up Michael Pettit on Facebook. Get out and see him at the Alumni Pub on 420. 420, April 20th. That's coming. That's around the corner.
It's April 20th at the Alumni Restaurant as the Red Sox start 2019. We'll see you then. Can you believe it?
So, Michael, we've been talking a lot about the Red Sox and the excitement with the spring weather. You are a production guy. You are creative. You love to produce. And you have created something that Red Sox fans can get fired up with, a tool that they can use, something in their tool belt that they can use all year long to get themselves fired up for the game.
Thank you. I'm a Red Sox fan like most of us here in New England, whether I lived in California or Florida, Fort Myers, which is obviously spring training, just a Red Sox fan. And the nation is strong. I penned a song probably about 6-7 years ago. It's called Faithful and Strong. It definitely is heavy on the Dropkick Murphys feel.
Oh, yeah.
And it captures and embodies all of the generations of Red Sox fans around the world.
Yes.
From my grandfather to my dad. I know your dad is a longtime Red Sox employee and part of the fixture and the fabric and the fiber.
Fenway with a PH, Phil is his name.
Sorry, Faithful, Dad. Faithful and Strong is a song for all of Red Sox Nation, and the man who sings it is a character that I created called Buster McKilty. He wears a kilt, he's a baseball, so please enjoy Faithful and Strong.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Red Sox Nation.
Oh, they're tearing up the tickets, or they're letting the people in. They come to root the local nine and hoping that they win. They're hitting the ball, they're touching them all, the boys came out to play. It's off the bat, it's over the wall, so let's play ball. Hey! 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 All the generations long had soft and hope got swept away. And the questions are what if, but we'll be back another day. And the spring arrived and we survived, we listened for the call. The boys are back and ready to go, so let's play ball. Red Sox Nation, we're rooting for you. Red Sox, we're right beside you. We're Red Sox Nation, we're faithful and we're strong. It's all for one and one for all, so let's play ball. Hey! 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 In the ballparks, the bars at home, they're screaming at the telly. Baby, this is a one, so we won't have to hear the lady. For all the lost and those who passed, your spirit's still alive. We raise the glass, remember you are not October nights. Red Sox, we're rooting for you. Red Sox, right beside you. We're Red Sox Nation, we're faithful and we're strong. It's all for one and one for all, so let's play ball. Beside you, we're Red Sox Nation. We're faithful and we're strong. It's all for one and one for all. So let's play ball. Hey, 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 generations long had suffered, hope got swept away. And the questions of would it, but we'll be back another day. And spring arrived and we survived, we listened for the call. The boys are back and ready to play, so let's play ball. Hey! Red Sox, we're rooting for you. Red Sox, we're right beside you. We're Red Sox Nation, we're faithful and we're strong. It's all for one and one for all, so let's play ball. One, we're two, we're three, we're one nation faithful. Now who are we? We're one, we're two, we're three, we're one nation faithful. Now who are we? One, we're two, we're three, we're one nation faithful. Now who are we? We're one, and we're two, and we're three, we're one nation faithful. Now who are we?
We're back. I'll tell you what, I am fired up. I'm standing up now, standing at attention.
Fired up.
Buster.
Buster McKilty.
Buster McKilty. Buster McKilty.
Let's go, Derek. Get it straight here. Aye.
If you weren't stomping around your living room, or if you didn't pull over during that, I should have put a warning on that. You should really pull over. You shouldn't drive while that's on, because you're hitting the dashboard. You got your fist in the air.
That's a possibly a road rage song.
It is, but I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. And I just heard that for the first time today, and I looked at Michael.
Buster McKilty.
Where is Buster?
Buster, yeah. Well, we don't know. We might roll out Buster this year, but he's just a fun song that people can enjoy and sing along as the Red Sox welcome us into 2019.
Yeah, you know what? And this is an example of why I enjoy being around Mike so much and why I enjoy getting his phone calls, because you never know where they're going. But he is one creative guy. Mike, your career has spanned decades.
Spanning the globe.
Spanning the globe.
Dun, 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 dun.
But you started out in radio here in Boston doing impressions and stuff like that. That was your start?
That was my niche. That was my hook. 1988, 89, doing radio in Boston as a sidekick, BCN. Then I worked over at ZOU, and that moved into stand-up comedy. And yeah. It's just a personal career growth.
Yeah, but it ain't narrow what you do. I mean, you have, like I said, we just heard a great song. You've got more of those in your iPhone.
Sure.
I feel bad for Big Murph, because he's riding around while you're creating this stuff.
Big Murph was, it was funny, because I grabbed a guitar and quickly put it down the other day because Murph started barking.
Yeah.
I'd like to try to learn to play guitar. I'm a little lazy with it, but he just started,
Yeah.
What's the matter, Murph? I don't like that song at all.
Yeah.
Take that away. That's not good.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
karaoke singing.
Another reason why I'm drawn to Michael Pettit is, Michael, you've done a lot of things, including Coach Pop Warner football, doubling as Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And Lovely and Talented still wanted you.
Yeah, it's just kids need that structure, that excitement for the youth sports. And
flip that.
Yeah,
it's
one of those things. I enjoy being around the football field, the smell of the grass, the kids.
Yep.
Parents, they're adequate.
Yeah.
But
how did Belichick coach these kids?
Well, you got to do what you got to do. Kids are kids, and That's when the parents get the heavy dose of Belichick. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to coach.
Yeah, exactly. And your boss, Bill, has had a little bit of a problem, although he could convert this into he could capitalize on this in some way. I mean, I could see maybe these massage parlors coming up to Patriots Place.
I don't know about that. I'm trying to coach a football team.
You can hear it already.
Here's my thing on the whole Crafty Bob situation.
Yeah, Crafty
if we will.
Bob.
He's 77 years old.
Yeah.
77.
Yeah.
If I make it to 77, hopefully I do, I'm going to have a what list.
A what list?
What time's tea time?
Right.
What's for dinner?
Right.
And what's the Lovely and Talented making for dessert?
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So that's the way it is.
Yeah, you're not going to be going to...
No.
No, okay.
No.
Not at all.
No. I've actually gone to massage parlors before. And
really?
I've had a deep tissue massage.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me hit the button. This is a 7-second delay. Okay, go ahead.
No,
do tell.
No, I've just had the massage for the deep tissue in there. I'll tell you, that is not fun.
No.
No, it hurts.
There's nothing exciting about
that. Oh, relax.
Yeah.
You just popped my eyeball out.
Yeah. But, hey, look who's here.
Oh, my
Speaking
God.
Speaking of lovely and talented, it's Jennifer
is.
Knight.
Oh, hello. Hello, Miss Jen.
Oh, Jennifer.
Oh, hugs for everybody.
Look
hugs
at this.
Everybody.
For those of you in the, on the radio that can't see right now, the president and founder of the SAFE Coalition, and more importantly, our friend Jennifer Knight just stumbled into the
Come
studio.
Come on in, Jen.
She is a new mom.
Woo!
Her, wait till she gets a hold of Buster McKenty.
Well, come on in here.
Buster McKenty?
Buster McKenty.
Buster McKenty. But Jennifer Knight, good to see you.
Show right now.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, you need to grab grab headset number three. No, headset number three. No, you're not good.
I know what it sounds like. Use these, Jen.
Are you sure?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Throw those on.
I'm a professional, believe it or not.
So, Jen, I'm so glad you came in right at the time Mike and I were having a very serious conversation about massage parlors, and we just wanted to get your viewpoint on massages in general and whether or not a 77-year-old man, owner of the New England Patriots, was within his right to utilize a massage parlor. I know Michael just opened up here in the air that he'd been to one.
I just went for a deep tissue massage.
Deep tissue. Yeah. Well, okay, we'll go with that. I'm trying to see how red Jen can get. She had no idea what we were talking about.
This is great. I mean, let's just put me on the spot. So, I mean, the whole thing is really interesting to me. Yeah. This whole scandal, I think, is really interesting. What is so surprising to me is really that we are so focused on him going to the massage parlor and paying the $79.99 for whatever happened. And they're
not a bad deal, by the way.
Not a bad deal.
Not that I know.
The Patriots never overpay.
And at the same time, there wasn't a huge shock value that there are these women who are forced into these positions of employment. And that was more disturbing to me, that the media was so hyper-focused on this one man receiving a service that he paid for, legal or not, and that there were mass injustices with him receiving that service. And that was more unfortunate to me. I'm thrilled now that it's coming out in the news that there are a lot of companies and businesses that operate that way, even in Massachusetts. And at the same time, it's sad that at this
it really is. And all kidding aside, yeah. Listen, there was nothing funny at all about human trafficking. There's and the whole thing's kind of sad. Michael Pettit has not only has he coached, which I happen to have loved coaching, but you have been a big brother.
Yeah, big brother for many, many years. Yeah. It was just something that kind of became a natural calling for me, where I could make a difference in one kid's, future.
Yeah.
Because, respectfully, I went down that road as a confused young teenager trying to fit in, peer pressure. And you don't realize it at that time when you're young. And this was many, many years ago.
Yeah.
We're talking 40 years ago.
Yep.
And I'm 53 now. And it's not like you just flip the switch and say, okay, I need to do something. No, it's just a natural thing of being a human being. It wasn't something that I said, I need to go make a difference. It was just something. What happened actually was, true story, was my nephews grew up. Mm-hmm. And they, not that they don't need Uncle Mike anymore, but I wasn't the cool uncle anymore. So there was that void in my life. I was the uncle that would take the kids at 14, 15, 16 years old, ski trips. You know, go up like Christmas vacation. We'd go do something, load up, bag of Doritos. We all head up to the mountains.
Bag of Doritos.
Sit around the condo and start, sharing, you know, because they were kids. I don't know if I could say crop dusting, but I did.
Well, you just did.
I just did. But that's what kids do when they, it's very interesting because I bumped into one of my nephew who's now 28 years old, 29. I bumped into one of his buddies at the gym. He's like, oh my God, Michael Pettit. Yeah. Unbelievable. He goes, remember the time we went to Sunday River? I'm like, oh yeah. So they still remember that kind of stuff. There you go. It's flatulence. It's a flatulence show. This is below adequate now, Jim.
Right. This is not,
show
this really
is below.
Isn't.
It's Monday, everybody. Now, Jen needs to understand or be
I'm
welcome.
I'm so immature. I have to stop this.
Must be the bean dip. Hey, everybody. It's time for OMG. Who had the steak trips? Jen needs to comment on something we were talking about earlier, Jim.
Yes.
Which is the level of acceptance that we don't realize with what is adequate.
That's a great point, Jen. So Mike and I have been having a spirited conversation about the pursuit of adequacy. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Jennifer is some 26 years my junior.
Yes.
right? So you are representing generation what?
I mean, I'm a millennial.
Yeah, Generation A, adequate. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, and so I know you have no idea where we're going with this, but Jen, it all started on a baseball field not far from here when a young Jim Derrick was all set to coach Baltimore Oriole version of T-ball team, and he brought his son out all ready to compete and was told, we don't compete here, Jim. We don't keep score. Whatever you do, if these kids know the score at the end of the game, we've got a problem with you. And at that point, I realized this generation, and now by extension me, we're in the pursuit of adequacy. We're not great and we're not bad. We're just adequate. How do you feel about that?
I would kind of agree. And it's a challenge because I think I'm the oldest of four. Mm-hmm. And the lifestyle that I think my parents created for myself and the mindset is different than my youngest sibling, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. There's 11 years between us. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that when I was growing up, there was this expectation that you win and you go and you be and you try hard
right.
and you do keep score.
Now we're talking.
And then my younger siblings came and things absolutely changed.
Right.
Everybody gets a medal. Everybody gets a trophy.
Right.
And so how do you create an intensity in someone to try harder or do more if there's no end game and there's no end result?
Exactly.
And I think it's a challenging transition when someone gets older, because in the workplace, you have to be excellent. You have to excel. If you want that next promotion, you have to be better than the people
not
beside
all workplaces.
You. Yeah.
So the question is, are we setting this next generation up to fail?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Ooh, man, wait a minute. We've now transitioned to chapters 2.0.
Boom, here we are. I'm so happy to be part of this.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we are setting up this generation to fail if we keep the same expectations that there were years ago. Mm. I do know that some workplaces are changing their mindset. So, for instance, in the past, if someone came in for a job interview or they sent a resume and an employer calls three times and the person doesn't call back, they're no longer an option for that position. Now, a lot of companies are sending text messages, leaving voicemails, following up different departments. It seems crazy to me that we're texting people to see if they want a job and catering to them, but some companies are doing that. So I think it's tough. I hire younger folks, and my challenge is younger folks have all of the confidence and none of the competence. And so it is a real struggle to hire incredibly
all
dedicated
of the confidence. And none of the competence.
Accountability, absolutely.
You talk about a perfect storm. What a nightmare to manage somebody like that. Hi, Michael, I'm here for the job. I'm super good. I'm real. You and listen, I know everything.
Yeah. But I normally start at noon.
Right.
And I'd like a lunch break. And I'd like to get out by 4:30. Thanks so much.
Does this work for your company's?
You wouldn't believe the traffic. Well, that you know.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I'm not sorry. Welcome to real life.
There's an article in Psychology Today, which speaks about the epidemic levels of anxiety and depression in teenagers, and links it all back to what we're talking about. And guess who has been doing a subadequate job at parenting these kids? Guilty! My generation, okay? Let's fix everything for them. Don't let them fail. If they're sad, make sure they get happy real quick, because I don't want a sad kid. You know why I really don't want a sad kid? It has nothing to do with my kid, but all my friends have happy kids. Mm-hmm. You know why I know that? Because I'm on Facebook and I see them all happy. Oh, and by the way, if they don't get into college, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire a consultant. I'll get him into college. I'm going to show those colleges. I'm going to consult their way into college. I'm going to make this kid bulletproof because that's my job. And then when they're in their 20s and they get their first rejection, I wonder why they're taking an antidepressant mm-hmm. the size of one of those oversized sweet tarts. You know, they're basically, it's sad to me that they haven't been allowed to fail.
Yeah, haven't been allowed to fail. And depression and anxiety, some of that is so rooted in not knowing a direction, that you're just kind of swimming. And if there was something to be achievable at the end of, you know, that school year or that sports season, there may be something for someone to work towards.
Exactly.
But if there's no result at the end, if you're not working towards anything, then your emotions are never going to change mm-hmm. and you're just going to have to sit there.
And Michael, you may not know this. We're in the company of somebody who has dedicated their life to the field of mental health. So you and I are in good shape here. Do you have your copay, by the way?
I don't know about you.
Well, that's why I haven't grabbed my keys. I'm sitting here saying, hey,
it is on.
I'm getting this one for the goose egg.
Yeah. You
know? And I'm sitting up. Normally, I lay back.
Oh, man. So, Michael, Jen, thank you for that wonderful. What other observations do you have as we enter spring? You're a huge Red Sox fan.
Yes. Woo!
You need... Earth to Jen, you need the microphone.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry, I get excited. Usually people are trying to take microphones away from me, so this is a whole new venture.
Yeah, but you're a huge Red Sox fan. We have gone to games together. Jen's a blast to go to. You see what she's like here?
Yeah.
Put her in a Red Sox hat at a game with a beer in her hand and a popcorn.
Ma'am, you need to sit down.
Yeah, exactly.
Security, security.
So you haven't met yet, but you're going to hear when you play back this show. In fact, before you leave the studio, we're going to give you your first ever taste of Buster McKilty.
Buster McKilty was lobbed into the Boston Harbor by a swing and a drive over the huge wall. Yeah. And you're going to like the song.
This is the best day.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, Michael, 420, April 20th, he's going to be at the Alumni Pub. He's going to be entertaining there. He's going to have another comic with him from New Hampshire.
Yeah, Ryan Gartley from New Hampshire will be there. We'll be doing some jokes, some LOL, providing the ultimate escapism.
Mm-hmm.
The Alumni Restaurant, great little location, great food, good friends. Come on out. We'll see you guys there.
Yeah. Any other projects that you've been performing down in Dedham? I met your friend that owns...
The Victory Grill. The old Vinny T's in Dedham at the Legacy Place. Legacy Park?
Legacy Place.
That's
Legacy
a beautiful Place. Venue. Oh, my gosh. That's a great shopping experience.
I've forgotten his name.
As an avid shopper.
What's his name?
Patrick Collins.
So Michael again is working with the Irish down at the Patrick Collins establishment in Dedham, and you're there every now and then.
Every once in a while, we're on rotation.
Yep. It's always funny, fresh place.
Never frozen.
Yeah, exactly. And Mr. Kraft, as always, we appreciate you being here.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion. All I can say is tonight we are all Patriots.
This is Chapters Radio. My name is Jim Derrick. He is Michael Pettit. She is Jennifer Knight. We'll see you next week.